This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ramadan Mubarak. Some of you be looking at me, looking at the champ and thinking, why is he wearing a long hat? This is a Nigerian hat. I've just come back from Nigeria. I like the hat, I like the clothes, I like the food, I like the country. So I thought I'd bring some of it back with me and present it to the people. But today we're not going to be talking about West Africa in particular, although it's a very interesting topic, history, the geography, the people, the climate, and so on. We're going to be talking about using philosophy, in particular the contingency argument, in Dawah. Now, why am I even bringing this up? Obviously, I've written a book on the contingency argument. Many of you may have purchased it. Many of you may not have purchased it. If you haven't, this is the book here. It's called The Burhan. The Burhan, it's published at the Sapiens Institute. Actually, you can get it free of charge. Sapiens Institute, we publish these things free of charge. But the paperback version, you're going to have to pay for the materials. But you can get it free of charge. Now, I'm doing my PhD also on the contingency argument. So obviously, it's something which is very interesting to me. So recently, some individuals who self-proclaim Salafis have come out and critiqued the use of the contingency argument in the first place. They say, you shouldn't be using this. This is not what the people of the Salaf did. It's not what people of, you know, Aqid al-Athar did and so on. The Athari people and so on. This is wrong. And so today what we're going to be doing is just looking at some things. I have already made a video about using Kalam. And I've mentioned in particular the positions of Ibn Taymiyyah. And you can see the video of that somewhere else. Maybe I'll put it in the description box. But I'll start off with just reading something that Ibn Taymiyyah wrote in his book, Ar-Radd al-Muntaqiyyin. Today is going to be an exposition of what Ibn Taymiyyah said. Because the point is this. If Ibn Taymiyyah is someone who's trustworthy from an aqidah perspective, if you consider him to be a mujaddid and the things that obviously we consider him to be, Abkhari, a great figure of the history of Islam, he knows the aqidah of the Athar and so on, then in that case, obviously, you wouldn't consider him a deviant. You wouldn't consider his perspectives deviant ones. My perspectives, maybe, deviant perspectives, his perspectives, that person's perspectives. But Ibn Taymiyyah, let's start with what he says in his Kitab al-Radd al-Muntaqiyyin. I've presented this one before, but I've got some things today which I've never presented in public. He says, وَبَعْضُ النَّاسِ يَكُونُ الطَّرِيقُ كُلَّمَا كَانَ أَدَقُ وَأَخْفَى أَكْثَرُ وَأَكْثَرُ مُقَدِّمَاتُ وَأَطْوَلْ كَانَ أَنْفَعَلَهُ لأن نفسه اعتادت النظر الطويل في الأمور الدقيقة فإذا كان الدليل قليل المقدمات أو كانت جلية لم تفرح نفسه به ومثل هذا يستعمل معه الطريق الكلامية المنطقية. We've already kind of said this one before. He says that some people, some individuals, every time that the dalil was, or the evidence was more sophisticated and more hidden, if you like, and has more premises, and it was longer to elaborate, then it was better for that individual, because his self has gotten used to that kind of thing. فَإِذَا كَانَ الدَّلِيلُ قَلِيلُ الْمُقَدِّمَاتِ If the dalil was only a few premises, أو كانت جلية, or very obvious, لَمْ تَفْرَحْ نَفْسَهُ بِهِ He wasn't going to be happy with that. وَمِثْلُ هَذَا قَدْ يُسْتَعْمَلُ مَعَهُ الطَّرِيقُ الْكَلَامِيَ الْمَنْطِقِيَّ With this individual, you use with him the kalam logical method. وَغَيْرَهَا And other methods like this. And he goes on. And he actually even mentions some benefits. وَأَيْضًا فَإِنَّ النَّظَرَ فِي الْعُلُومِ الدَّقِيقَةِ يَفْتِقُ الذِّهْنَ وَيُدَرِّبُهُ وَيُقَوِيهُ عَلَى الْعِلْمِ And so on. Like doing this will sharpen the mind and so on. But interestingly, with the contingency, so this is the first thing. The first thing is, when it comes to using kalam, mantiq, whatever, Ibn Taymiyyah himself is saying that with some people you need to use those kinds of arguments. That is what he is saying in his book, one of the last books that he's published. But what about the contingency argument itself? Well, one very central aspect of the contingency argument is, of course, the infinity or infinite regress, the set of infinite things, the set of finite things, etc. And this is in a kitab called Minhaj al-Sunnah, pages 436 to 437. I'm going to put the screenshot on the screen. And this is what he says. He says, وَتَسَلْسُلْ عَنْ He says that infinite regress is of two types. تَسَلْسُلْ فِي الْمُؤَثِّرَاتِ كَتَسَلْسُلْ فِي الْعَلَلِ وَالْمَعْلُولَاتِ وَهُوَ التَّسَلْسُلْ فِي الْفَعَلِينَ وَالْمَفْعُولَاتِ فَهَذَا مُمْتَنَعًا بِاتِّفَاقِ الْعَقَلَاءِ He basically says infinite regress is of two types, and one type is the infinite regress of efficient causes, and this is impossible, yeah, with the ittifaq, the agreement of all the rational people. من هذا الباب تسلسل الفاعلين والخالقين والمحدثين مثل أن يقول هذا المحدث له محدث وهذا وللمحدث محدث آخر إلى ما لا يتناهى. He says that, as if to say, for example, this originated thing has an originator, and this originated, the originator has an originator, and it's infinitely regressive backwards. What does this sound like, ladies and gentlemen? This is philosophizing. Ibn Taymiyyah here is philosophizing. He is using dalil which is not in the Quran and the Sunnah. This infinite regress kalam, he is speaking of it himself. He's using it himself. Now, I want to know, what is your response to this? How do you feel about it? If I were to say these things, maybe it's a deviant position, but Ibn Taymiyyah is saying it himself here in Minhaj al-Sunnah, page 436 to 437. He says, فَهَذَا مِمَّا اتَّفَقَ الْعَقَلَاءِ فِي مَا أَعْلَمُ عَلَى امْتِنَاعِهِ لِأَنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثْ لَا يُجَدْ بِنَفْسِهِ. He says, because, and this is the second page now, second page, here we go. He says, because every muhdath, every originated thing, that cannot originate itself. فهو معدوم باعتبار نفسه. So it is absent with regard to itself. وهو ممكن باعتبار نفسه. And it's contingent. Now he's talking about contingency. Is he? Is he talking? Yes, he is. Yes, yes. Ibn Taymiyyah, yes, he is. He says, and he's وهو ممكن باعتبار نفسه. He says contingent with regard to itself. فإذا قدر من ذلك ما لا يتناهى. So if it's something which is understood to infinite regressive proportions, لم تصر الجملة الموجودة واجبة بنفسها. This particular set of things, it could not be self-sufficient or in existence because of itself. فإن انضمام المحدث إلى المحدث والمعدوم إلى المعدوم والممكن إلى الممكن لا يخرجه عن كونه مفتخرا إلى الفاعل له. The fact that you have contingent things, contingent upon contingent things, that does not mean that that entire set is not itself contingent on some agency outside of itself. بل كثرة ذلك تزيد حاجتها وافتقارها إلى الفاعل. In fact, the more you add contingent things to contingent things, the more you require, the more it will depend on the agent, the ultimate agent. وافتقار المحدثين here too. So for وافتقار المحدثين الممكنين أعظم من افتقار أحدهما. So for example, two contingent things, or two originated things, or two contingent things is even more dependent than one of them. يعني on the agent outside of it. كما أن عدم الاثنين أعظم من عدم أحدهما فالتسلسل في هذا والكثرة لا تخرجه عن الافتقار والحاجة بل تزيده حاجة وافتقار. This doesn't mean that the contingent thing will at one point there'll be a threshold where it stops being contingent. In fact, it continues being even more contingent. So this is the first thing. Clearly he's speaking about contingencies. Clearly he's making the argument. Clearly he's agreeing with the argument. Clearly he doesn't agree with those individuals who say that you can't use the argument. He does not agree with that. He's in fact using the argument himself. He is using the argument himself. And he uses it even more in this kitab here, which is, once again, it's Minhaj As-Sunnah. And you can look, in fact, the whole section, page 426 to 432. It's very interesting, the discussion, because he anticipates the cosmological fallacy. Much like, you know, the Bertrand Russellian compositional fallacy. That just because there is some kind of description in the part, it doesn't mean that that will be generalized to the whole. Well, then he responds, and it's a long discussion. I can't show all of it, but I'll just show you some of it. He says, فَاشْتِمَالْ مَعْدُومَاتِ الْمُمْكِنَةِ لَا يَجْعَلُهَا مَوْجُودَةِ بل ما فيها من الافتقار إلى الفاعل حاصل عند اجتماعها أعظم من حصوله عند افتقارها وقد بسط الكلام على هذا في غير هذا الموضع. So he's saying here that if you put together things which are non-existent, yes, it does not فاجتماع المعدومات الممكنة, which are contingent, it doesn't make it existent, okay. بل فيها من الافتقار إلى الفاعل حاصل عند اجتماعها. When you put these particular instantiations of contingent things together, In fact, it doesn't change its quality, he states, if you put it together. أعظم من حصول عند افتقارها. It still remains dependent. وقد بسط الكلام على هذا في غير هذا الموضوع. He says that I spoke about this in another segment. Someone may argue, well, actually, he has a serious problem, and he did have a serious problem with some of the way the philosopher, like Ibn Sina and Farabi and Al-Kindi and so on, they use this argument to do nafi of the sifat, to negate some of the attributes of God. And yes, you can see this, for example, in the quotation above in Safadiyya, when his kitab called the Safadiyya, from page number 104 to 111. But what he says is really interesting, as I'll show, he says in elsewhere, is that it really depends on how you define a part and a whole. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, في أي سورة ما شاء ركبك. For example, and he mentions this, if the thing itself, وقد يقال المركب لما يمكن تفريق بعضه عن بعض كأعضاء الإنسان. For example, if you can separate these things together, like for example, the appendages of a human being, then or that you can يشار إليه, for example, كالشمس والفلك, then these things are not what are intended by composite parts. He says here, وَإِذَا كَانَ كَذَلِكَ فَمَعْلُومْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذَا قَالُوا أَنَّ إِثْبَاتُ الصِّفَاتِ تَسْتَلْزِمُ التَّرْكِيبُ. Now he's attacking the philosopher. He's saying that if we're talking about attributes and that يَسْتَلْزِمُ التَّرْكِيبُ, a composition, لَمْ يُرِيدُوا بِهِ الْأَوَّلُ وَالثَّانِي, meaning these two examples, فَإِنَّ إِثْبَاتُ الصِّفَاتِ لَازِمْ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. He's saying that each of the sifat of Allah are necessary. So the attributes of God are necessary, whereas a part of a thing that can be taken away and put into, that's not necessary. That is not necessary. Ibn Taymiyyah is telling you this. It's not me that's telling you this. It's Ibn Taymiyyah that's telling you this. And he says it again in Sharh Aqidah al-Isfahaniyyah, page 91. So if you look at the two juz's, they are separate from each other. فَيُرَكِّبُهُمُ جَمِيعًا مُرَكِّبُ. So that a murakkib puts them together. A murakkib puts them together. So here he's saying, he's showing you the problem that he has with the compositional argument that Ibn Sina makes. He's saying that basically they are conflating between an attribute and a part. He's saying basically it's something like, he gives two examples. For example, a ship that has lots of planks. Yeah, these are the parts that can be put in or taken out, or food that is made up of many different ingredients. These are the kinds of parts that is impossible في حق الله تعالى, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Ibn Taymiyyah, he tweaks the contingency argument, because Ibn Sina and the philosopher don't really make this distinction. They conflate between the attribute and the part. So the question is, how do, in my book, I've actually accounted for this. So you can see in how I describe a part, we describe it in the English as a piece, because the word piece in the English language, it has already the denotation that it can only be put in or taken out. And that is impossible with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for example, we say a piece of cake. Whereas the word part in Myriology, you can say a part of his personality. Like part of his personality or the attributes of God has got many different attributes. So the word part is confusing from that perspective. So in order to eliminate the confusion, I use the word piece. And we can't say Allah has pieces. So having all of these things, bearing all of these things in mind, there should be, If someone is saying there's a problem with using the contingency argument and they are making that claim, now your problem is no longer with Muhammad Hijab. Your problem is no longer with Muhammad Hijab. Your problem is with Ibn Taymiyyah himself. Now, all of your refutations in your PDFs, please write them with the title Refuting Ibn Taymiyyah. Because this is very clear. I've given you more than 3 or 4 references. Sharh Aqid al-Isfahaniyya, Ar-Raddu al-Mantiqiyyin, Minhaj al-Sunnah, As-Safadiyya. That's 4 references. 4 different books where Ibn Taymiyyah is saying things. Now you can say, well, he's saying these things out of context. I'm giving you the entire reference. I've shown it to you on the screen. I've read it out to you in the Arabic and translated it to you in the English. Maybe you don't understand this, with all due respect. Maybe you don't understand what's going on here. But just because you don't understand something, it doesn't mean now you have a right to block people from doing da'wah to atheists, because you're not doing da'wah to atheists. You cannot do that. Show us how to do da'wah. Demonstrate to us how you can do da'wah to atheists without using first principle methods. So anyway, I mean, I don't want to waste my time too much, but the point is that we just want people to know who Allah is. And we just want people to understand that you can use these arguments in Islam. Islam is a rational religion. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah himself wrote the Kitab Dar' al-Ta'ar bil-Aql wal-Naql. There's lack of contradiction between the Naql or the textual evidence in the Aql. I hope with all of this evidence, I'm no longer going to receive questions from the Amma, the general public and whatever, and other people, videos being made and so on about the contingency argument, unless these quotations are dealt with. If you deal with these quotations, ahlan wa sahlan, please, I would love to see how these quotations are wrong so I can amend my thesis, my PhD thesis, so I can speak to my friends, so we can improve our knowledge together. Otherwise, it's just going to be name-calling and blocking the way of da'wah, with all due respect. So instead of blocking the way of da'wah and name-calling, let's stick to the academia, let's stick to the references. If you cannot deal with these references and you cannot respond to them, just... It's not a shame to say, you know, I was wrong on the matter. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.